Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
Wow. We hope you're all healthy and safe during this incredibly difficult time. We've been doing this podcast for about a year with our monthly luncheon speakers. And due to the crisis that we are currently in, we want to change it up a little bit. We want to start a new guest series called Voices of Hope.
We know a lot of people are suffering out there right now, whether it is physically, emotionally, or economically. And our hope is to bring you guests who can uplift, inspire, and have honest conversations with us. We'd like to have guest interviews on a somewhat regular basis, maybe even weekly. And hopefully this can help us get through all this together.
We are so fortunate to have LDS Business College President Bruce Cush with us here today. Hey, Bruce, how are you doing personally during this crisis, and how are your students doing?
Well, you know, personally, I'm doing just fine. I think, like everybody, I'm getting a little tired of being cooped up inside all day long. It's always great when we can get out and enjoy a little bit of recreation or even just going to the store safely. But our students are doing remarkably well. We just finished up our winter semester just this past week. And we changed from face-to-face instruction to all remote technology, remote instruction using Zoom. We did that in about 2.5 days. And our faculty did amazing things, and our students also just adapted really, really well. My wife and I taught an institute class this semester, and it was a great experience with our students. And we have called it instructional distancing, and really it's been a great experience for everybody. We've learned some things that are really vital, and we learned that we're calling it learning beyond boundaries. So we don't have to be in a physical space to have great learning and teaching experiences together.
Yeah. And I know, Bruce, I've had opportunity to be an adjunct professor at LDS Business College in the past and enjoy my time there. And I know that your approach and your philosophy of teaching in the classroom is pretty awesome. I mean, as far as, you know, you're trying to keep away from the lecture type approach. And so how has that transitioned to the Zoom format? Have you been able to still get that engaging learning happening?
Yeah, it's probably not exactly the same as it would be if we were physically on campus, but we've been able to continue that, and I think we've learned some things about how to do it using remote technology that we wouldn't have learned any other way.
Bruce, I'm curious. You know, right now we're in a time of social distancing. How do you make connections that encourage and motivate people for good and that matter during a time like this?
You know, that's a really good question, Dave. One of the things that we have tried to do is to be more diligent in our communications with our employees and with our students. We're sending out regular email updates. I've done several video just messages. I sent out one just last week. I just recorded it just right here in my home office. I just, used my webcam and recorded it, sent it to our public affairs people, and they emailed it out to everybody. It was very unsophisticated in terms of quality of the video, but I think people knew that we were sincere in expressing our love for them, our concern for them. And, there's some things that I've tried to do and will continue to try to do to just reach out to people on a one-by-one basis just to see how they're doing. And, from an executive team, we're very conscious of the conditions of our folks and just trying to have them know how much we appreciate them. We are streaming our devotionals on a weekly basis. Just today, we streamed commencement. And, reports are good in terms of people's reactions. We know it's not exactly we're not operating under optimal conditions and the conditions we wish we were operating under, but given the circumstances, we feel like we're doing pretty well.
Awesome. And I know, you know, you've been proactive in reaching out to the like you said, the return missionaries who are all, most of them coming home in a time they didn't expect and offering them some opportunities. What was the process going into that to make that opportunity available for them?
Yeah. So, you know, people, at least here in the I-15 corridor, hopefully the few that are still on the freeway will see our billboards that we have up. I think we have 5 billboards up between Layton and about 100 down to Draper, just welcoming home these returned missionaries and letting them know that for their first semester at LDS Business College, they will get a 50% tuition discount to come and enroll. And they can enroll right up to the beginning of the of our spring semester, which starts on the 20th of April. And, you know, LDS Business College may not have been in these return missionaries' plans. They may have been bound for BYU or BYU-Idaho or someplace else. But I know how important it is for these young people to get back into school or back into something worthwhile as quickly as they can. And so even if it's only a semester, we'd love to have a student come, and they may find that LDS Business College, soon to be Ensign College, is a pretty great place to work on an education. So we thought through this. We thought about what these missionaries might need, and we thought, you know, let's make this scholarship more widely known. I just saw a thing this morning that our posting on Facebook had about 85,000 views. So we're kind of excited about the
wow,
reach that this is getting.
And I think it's perfect just because, like you say, this is certainly not something that any of these missionaries planned for. I've talked to several who have returned, and it's difficult. It's difficult for them to all of a sudden be facing this now and saying, what do we do? What's going on? What's our next step in life?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not what they hoped for, not what they planned for. You know, we have a grandson that's supposed to, it's been called the Spain-Barcelona mission, supposed to go in the MTC on the 3rd of June. And he's in that category now where he's got to kind of decide, does he move forward? Does he wait? And so it's a, you know, it's a challenging time for these young people in trying to decide what they're going to do, but particularly for these thousands who have come home at a time that was just different than what they had planned. And, you know, the really good thing about what we're doing is that they don't have to be in Salt Lake City to be an LDS Business College student for the spring semester. They can enroll and be anywhere in the United States, and we can enroll them, and they don't have to come here, obviously, to be a student during the spring semester.
Yeah, my son's in the same boat, supposed to go Argentina mid-July, this is definitely a time of upheaval. Speaking of missions, as a former mission president, can you talk to us about maybe some of the lessons you learned as mission president and maybe some of the challenges as well?
Oh, I don't think we have enough time for me to share everything for sure. You know, a mission president and his wife come to love these missionaries like you do your own children. You celebrate their successes, and your heart aches for them when they have challenges and trials and difficulties. But it was a glorious experience to spend 3 years in Mexico with almost 600 missionaries from 17 different countries. One of the things I learned, and I was talking with a good friend who had served as a mission president, you know, is it just in how you can get the most out of your missionaries. If you just love them and don't expect anything of them, you may not get all the results that you'd like to as a mission president. If you just have high expectations and rigorous rules and if you're really strict, but they know that they don't feel loved, then you'll be feared as a mission president. Neither one of those two things are good. But if missionaries know that they're loved, you can set high expectations, and they'll follow. They'll follow through. One of the things that was always a humbling experience for me is that at a zone conference, you know, missionaries would have their journals and their, you know, and pens and things and their scriptures out, and they'd be trying to record almost every single word that a mission president would say. And that was always a humbling thing. And there were many times when missionaries would quote me having said something. And I know that I had not said it, but it was the Holy Ghost that had taught them. I learned that the Holy Ghost is vital in the work, and that when need be, the Holy Ghost can work very quickly to inspire a mission president and his wife on things that they might need to do and decisions that need to be made. And sometimes the impressions were very strong, and other times they were very subtle. But loving the missionaries, loving the people, you know, as we considered ourselves guests in a foreign country and tried to behave accordingly, and have the people know, the members know that we love them and loved being there, and we love their language and we love their culture and we love their food. And those were all things that I think worked well for us and were important lessons for us to learn. The other thing we learned is you're never going to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. So have you seen many parallels to being a college president of LDS Business College with being a mission president, especially at a college like LDS Business College that's so intimate? Has there been many parallels and things that really prepared you for that role?
Well, I think so. You know, when we were first invited to assume this role at LDS Business College, we were told that it was going to be like zone conference every day. And so for us, being on campus and being around our students, one of the things I loved about our mission in Mexico, as I mentioned, we had missionaries from 17 different countries. We have students at LDS Business College from many more than that. In the last several years, we've had students from over 80 different countries. This year, our graduates were from 34 international countries. And I love that. I love their enthusiasm, and I love their goodness. And so from that standpoint, you know, the students aren't dressed as missionaries, although we are when we're on campus, of course, but just kind of understanding where they are in their lives and what's important for them, being able to relate to many of them are returned missionaries on campus. And, you know, we've learned some things too. We had some difficult challenges in Mexico with some civil unrest and upheaval. We had to make some contingency plans in the mission with not very much time to do it. We've had to do the same thing at the college and then making contingency plans for what we would do, how we would operate, what we would operate, what we wouldn't operate, our schedules. So I just think all of those things, they just sort of add to your experience bucket. And so when you face these things, and I suppose above all, if there was one lesson above all that was consistent with the college and the mission, is that we know that the Lord is in charge, and we know that He will guide us and will help us, and that even when things look bleak, the day will come when the clouds will part and the sun will shine and things will get better.
Speaking of LDS Business College, can you give us one or two maybe experiences you've had that kind of stand out above the rest, or either with students or with other faculty or with your role as president? And also talk a little bit about the name change of LDS Business College moving to Ensign College, and what were kind of some of the thoughts behind that?
Sure. So, you know, one of the most wonderful things about the college is that it's a place where young people can come and discover their talents and discover things about them and learn that they can do things that they never thought were possible. And let me give you one experience that I had with the parents of one of our students, and that I think epitomizes opportunities of hope and at the college. So this was last year, right after commencement. We had a little reception on campus, and parents came up to visit with me, to thank me for the opportunities that had been given to her daughter to come to the college. And I knew their daughter, but I didn't really know the background. And what they shared with me is that she had they discovered that she had a pretty serious learning disability, and she was dyslexic. And what I didn't know was that she was dyslexic, they said, in every way that a human being could possibly have that disability, including from an auditory standpoint, which I didn't know that was part of that disability. Well, so when it came time to educate her in high school, they had a choice. They could put her into a regular high school where she would not get educated, but she would get a high school diploma. Or they could put her in a special school where she would get educated, but it wasn't an accredited school. So she would not graduate or finish the schooling with a high school diploma that the state where she lived would recognize. They opted to have her be educated, but not have a high school diploma. So she finishes, does well, wants to go to college. Well, and wants to go to a church school. And because she did not have a high school diploma, she was having difficulty getting accepted, including at LDS Business College. Hmm. And at the pleading of her mother, there was a decision made that she would be admitted provisionally if she did well on her initial testing, and she did just fine. And last year, she graduated from our interior design program, which is one of the most rigorous programs on campus. And they were just grateful for the opportunity that their daughter had been given. And I think that's just an indicator of things that can happen for young people, or anyone really, when they come. It's a place of hope and opportunity. And that's one of the things I love the most about LDS Business College. Now, the name change. We've been LDS. We were LDS Business College since 1931, and we were LDS College before that. And the reason we became LDS Business College in 1931 in the early years of the Depression is because the church was cutting back on financial support, and the only department that survived was the business department. So they just added business to the name of the college. And we have found, as we've studied this over the last few years, that, you know, first of all, we do many more things than just business, although at the end of the day, I suppose everything is business, but with medical and paralegal and technology programs and interior design, we do more than just business. So we felt that name no longer really represented well who we were as an institution. So we began thinking about alternatives and other names that we might consider. Ensign Peak overlooks the college, and as we looked at names and things, we wanted to have a name that we knew would be recognizable to members of the church. And all that Ensign stands for, and that took place on Ensign Peak, the vision that that Brigham Young had of seeing the peak and the valley, we just felt that it would be an appropriate name for us as we move forward into a brand new phase, as we'll be offering bachelor's degrees, as we offer more curriculum online. We just felt that it was a wonderful name to guide our future.
Yeah, I love that. And so in regards to the bachelor's degrees, are there specific types of bachelor's degrees that you'll be offering, or how does that process work, and how will it impact the college overall?
Yeah, so we're really excited about these. We're going to have a bachelor's degree in business management, a bachelor's degree in communications, and a bachelor's degree in information technology. And with our stackable curriculum, students will be able to select sort of a track or some various areas of discipline that they will stack into our degrees along with general education. So we're really excited about the potential. We think that these degrees will serve about 80% of the students who come to the college. The other 20% are in programs that are considered terminal, where they don't pursue bachelor's degrees, like in interior design or medical assisting or paralegal studies. Those students are not bachelor degree seeking students generally, but pretty much everyone else who comes to the college would have an interest in getting a bachelor's degree. We're going to have a certified management accounting program, which will be the only one in the church system and the only one in the state of Utah. The state schools don't offer a certified management accounting program. And so that will be something we think will be very unique and will create a unique niche for us as well. So we just can't hardly wait for fall of 2021 to get here when we really start with these degrees in earnest.
That's awesome. You know, we're winding down here, but for my last question, I just want to ask you, Bruce, are there any words of encouragement that you might have for people? Is it possible to maintain a positive focus throughout this crisis?
You know, it absolutely is. And I think we, as we were taught so very well in general conference, things will get better. There's a quote I have here on my desk from President Ballard, who said recently, "Let's be happy and keep going forward and do the best we can, and these circumstances will change." So at times like these, we move forward with faith and with hope. And a pandemic like this is not unprecedented in the history of the world, but it certainly is for all of us. And I think there are things that we are learning now that will be important lessons, not only for now, but for the future. And I think we'll look back and we'll find that there are good. There's so much good that's happening. People that are reaching outward, we have an opportunity to look inward. And as we do both of those things, it's important also that we look upward. And so that's kind of the way we're looking at things right now.
And Bruce, I was going to say too that I agree with you, especially around general conference. I think I was sharing with my kids that I think this is the most watched general conference of all time, both from a members of the church standpoint, but also I think a lot of people are interested in what the prophets and apostles and general authorities had to say with the current pandemic, during the current pandemic. So
yeah, and you know, we had no choice but to be focused on the message and the messages that were given, as opposed to when you're in the conference center and around Temple Square. All of the other things that are as wonderful as they are, they can be just a little bit of a distraction. But this time it was just a focus on the message. And it was an amazing, wonderful experience for us.
And how cool to see all those choirs at the end from all.
Oh, around. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much. We are so appreciative of your time to come on with us and to talk about these things. And we appreciate all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Hope, the BYU Management Society Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast.